I'm going to give a class that this building and probably Google never thought about. And that's Parshas Kedoshim, of course, is one of the fundamental parshas in the Torah. I once heard a very great Torah scholar say that Perikid Test, the 19th parak of Parshas Kedoshim, really encapsulates the hashkafa, the Weltanschauung, of every Jew. That really a Jew is supposed to know Perikid Test cold. It has so many of the fundamental values of the Torah, so many of the fundamental viewpoints of the Torah. Certainly things like Haftarecha Kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself, being honest, helping people, etc., are all in here. But we'll start with the beginning of the Parsha. David, how good is your Hebrew?
My Torah Hebrew is, I can often read the general substance of what I'm reading.
I didn't know who would be here. We have some of these people are advanced, so we'll try. I'm gonna read some of the Hebrew, and we'll translate as we go along.
Sure.
So the Torah tells us these Parsha, Perkei Tes, Pasuk Beis. Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, kudeishim tiyu, ki kadosh ani adunai Eloheichem. And speak to the entire assembly of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for holy am I, Hashem your God. Right? The Jewish people, tell this message to the entire Jewish people, kudeishim tiyu. Rashi brings down, kudeishim tiyu means not to engage in illicit relations, or any other sinful thing, specifically revolve around intimacy. That means to be holy. Holiness, one of the most important things is holiness, is sexual drive. Use that in the right way. The Nesiva Shalom was the Slonim Areva. Slonim was a city in Lithuania. Lithuania was not really a hotbed of Hasidic movement, as opposed to Poland, and later Hungary, the Chabad was around Lithuania, which is why historically Chabad was at the forefront of the Misnagdic fight against them, Lithuanian versus Chabad. That wasn't against Chabad, just Chabad happened to be in that neighborhood. The other large Hasidic group that was there was Slonim. One of the greatest sages of the past generation was the Slonim Rebbe, and he says the following thing in the Siva Shalom. The Ramban, Nachmanides, the great 13th century sage, says this as well. Listen to what he says. Uvesefer akoy shomer amunim hakadmon. Shalos hachafetzim lahakanes lipnimas avod Hashem. Anyone who wants to enter into the world of really serving Hashem, of really being a person who serves Hashem, lo yemushu mipihem beis hapsukim shvatara. There are two verses, two verses that every Jew has to know who wants to serve God internally. Now, we can serve Hashem mechanically. You can serve God just by going through rotes, or you can serve Hashem. You can serve God with the innards of a person. So there's two psukim you need. There's two verses you always, every Jew can't forget. Pasuk number one, which is in Devarim, is Vasisa Hayasher HaToiv Be'enei Hashem. This pasuk, this verse in Deuteronomy, says you should do what's just and right in the eyes of God. And this part, and the pasuk from what we just read of Kedoshim to be holy to Hashem. Vasisa Yashar Tov, do what's just and right. That's between man and man. When you're dealing, every dealings that a person has between man to man, we got to think about what's doing what's just and right. That should be our motto. And Kedoshim to you, right, be holy. That's between man and God. That's every Jew. Those are the two verses. The Ramban also, Nachmanides, on this pasuk at the end of a long Ramban, points this out. As well. So I want to jump into Kedoshim to you, Kedusha. Says Nesiva Shalom, Kamoken Hua Pasuk Hasheni, Kedoshim to you. She'ein Zen Mitzvah Pratis. Kedoshim to you is not like an isolated mitzvah. Eliyud Klali Hamutol Al Kol Yehudi. It is the mission, the general mission. If you had to decide, you had to articulate what the mission of a Jew in this world is, that mission is to be holy. Shetachlisu sheYehudi, that the purpose of a Jew is ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokechem, be holy like God.
I should have asked this at the very beginning. Should we hold questions till a suitable juncture?
I think so. Okay. Unless you feel it's something you can't understand, but if it's more of a philosophical question, hold. Because probably some of the questions we'll get to as we go along.
Okay.
I don't think all, but that way, just in case, we'll flush out any questions as we go.
Sure.
So, shetzarek los dovik b'Hashem. The purpose of a Jew is to cling to God. This is a very big Kabbalistic thought. V'alav ladas, shebichol ma'isa sh'ayis. And a Jew has to know, with every deed that they do, or in that action that a Jew does, shenasa ayideh ze dovik b'Hashem, either that action will let you get closer to Hashem, or chas v'chalila, or God forbid, lehepech, or poyuishen. Therefore, it says in the Siva Shalom, it doesn't say specifics, in Kedoshim 2, just as be holy. Now, there are, the Gemara and the works of the Kabbalah will have a lot of the specifics that are objective. But in general, you have to know that every deed, right? In a day in Google, you have many actions, which the Torah is not going to quantify everything you're doing, right? What's it to be holy. V'l'ur is a yishko, a person, a Jew has to weigh this out. Kol ma'isa shay, it's every deed that he does. Ha'miskarvu al-yadu l'taklis l'yustavik b'Hashem. Is this action going to bring us closer to God? Oh, God forbid, distance us from God. What's this action going to do? Is it bring us closer or farther? V'hinei, and the truth is that the Torah many, many times stresses the idea of Kedusha, of holiness. Right? When you look at the Torah, it says to be holy. Where does it say that? Before Kabbalah Satorah, before the acceptance of the Torah, now we're in Sphere now, we're going up to Shavuot, which is where the King of the Torah. It says, "Ve'atem, you should be for me, mamlechas kohanim, a nation of priests, ve'goy kodesh, and a holy nation." Parshas Mishpatim, it says, "Anshe kodesh tionli, you should be holy people." It says, "Many times, ve'skadishtem, you should become holy, ve'isik kodoshim, and then you'll be holy." Lefi shetachlis kol ha-Torah v'mitzvahs, the whole purpose of the Torah, the whole purpose of all of the Torah and mitzvahs, is shihudi yedavik b'Hashem, that a Jew should be clinging to God. Below is Davik b'Hashem, and to be close, to cling to God, is only the only way. Many people want to get close to God. They want to have a relationship. The only way that you can be close to God, the criteria of being close to Hashem is Rak al yedei kedoshim. Only if you're holy. Then the Siva Shalom points out, and that the mitzvahs in Torah, that allows us to be close to Hashem. And I'll just finish the last line before we go on. The Chol Targ HaMitzvahs, all the purpose of the 613 mitzvahs, is L'kadosh Yehudi, is to sanctify a Jew. Ad she etzem shel kedusha, the holiness in the Torah, which we know that the Torah is compared to 365 negative prohibitions, 248 positive commandments. What's that? 348 plus 248. 365 plus 248 is
613.
Wow. Okay. Right. So 613. Right. Because every part of our body is supposed to be sanctified by the mitzvahs. There is a remarkable verse in Amos. Amos, of course, is the great 7th century BCE sage. He's found in what's called the 12 Minor Prophets, which is one of the books of Scripture. One of the books of Tanakh.
Amos. Oh, Amos. Okay, that's right. Amos.
Amos, right. And you're familiar with that book?
Yes.
So in Parakhes, actually, which one I brought? I took down some notes. So in Parakhes, the pasuk is like this. Hine yamim ba'im nu'um Hashem, that behold, days will come, says Amos, that hashlachti ra'av ba'aretz, I'm going to create a famine in the land. Lo'i ra'av la'lechem, not a famine for bread, v'lo tzama la'mayim, and not people will be thirsty for water. What will be this famine for? Kim lishmaya es divrei Hashem. It's to hear the word of God. Are you familiar with that verse?
No, but I understood the Hebrew.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
Like I said, my biblical Hebrew is
good. So kim lishmaya divrei Hashem. It's but to hear the word of Hashem. Now, most the simple level of this is that in the future, people aren't going to be worried about their materialistic possessions. There's going to be such a dearth of understanding of God. When we live in such a world where people are so disconnected that the one Torah, they want to connect to God, they have been caught, got so far. Amos was talking about our times and the end of times, really. You know, not that we're in the end of times, but later times, when you're not in the time of Beis HaMikdash, not in the time of the temple, there's going to be a thirst for that. There's not going to be for lechem or mayim. The Ramesh Avali was a student of the greatest Kabbalist of the 18th century. The greatest Kabbalist of the 18th century. His name was Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. He was an Italian sage, an author of numerous works, including Masilas Yesharim, The Path of the Just, Das Tfunus, and other works. So Moshe Avali says, usually when the verse refers to lechem, bread, or mayim, water, those are also euphemisms for Torah. He says, in the future, people will have even Torah, but they'll desire a connection to God.
Euphemisms for
Torah. The Torah study. It's like bread and water, fundamentals of eating. Mm-hmm. A Jew looks at Torah as fundamentals of spirituality. Those are if you want to connect to God, you got to know how to connect. And Torah connects the Jew to God. So, says Rav Moshe Vali, in the future there'll be Gemara classes, there'll be Shi'urim, but there'll still be a yearning of a Jew to connect to Hashem. The world will want to connect to God. So what is spiritual yearning? What is a spiritual yearning? So the Pijana Rebbe, Rav Kalman Kalman Shapiro, was one of the leading Polish sages in the early 20th century. He actually died in the Warsaw Ghetto. He wrote a work called Esh Kodesh. He's actually a very, you're a Queens boy. So there's a famous synagogue today in Woodmere, New York, called Esh Kodesh, named after one of his works.
Holy Flame.
Holy Flame, exactly. The Holy Flame. So he has also a book called Sav Viziros. And in this book, he explains what it means to have a spiritual yearning. As follows, Nefesh Ha'adam Ahavas L'Sragish. That the soul of a person always wants to have passion. That internally a Jew wants to. Lo al simcha levada, not just for happiness. Rak stam lehisragish ohavasi, just to have emotions is important to a person. Af lehisragish be'etziv u'bichia raitzehi. Even a Jew, when you're at a funeral, somebody wants to cry. You don't want to be emotionless when you're at a funeral. You have a yearning to cry. You want to feel when you lose a relative, God forbid that we should ever have this thing. You want to feel, you want to cry, you want to be emotional when that is. Oh, you have a ish, so he says so much so. Liris maris, humans, people will watch horror films or see terrible things. Vishmayas masas neuros, or read a horror story. Why? To be moved. People want to be moved. Chayk v'tzurach ha-nefesh, it's a reality that the soul yearns to have a spiritual feeling. And therefore, a person who uses their emotions and uses their spirituality, which I think I'm going to call this class a class on spirituality, a person who uses their spirituality for Torah and tefillah, for godly things, divine things, praying to God, right, they'll be satisfied. Even a person who would do, say, Torah mitzvahs, or goes to synagogue, or keeps Passover, and they do it mechanically, without any passion, without any fervor, without any understanding, right?
So spirituality here means desire. One's desires should
resolve. Well, so I'm going to flesh that out in a minute. Right, exactly. A desire to connect to God. An emotional level, not just a cerebral level, not just an intellectual level, but an emotional level of connection. Right? We say kadosh to be holy. What does that mean? Right? It means to be spiritual with God, and which we'll explain in a few moments. And if you're not getting your passion, you're not getting your emotions in Torah mitzvahs, you'll find it other places, and it could even sometimes be in sinful places, because there's a human need to be emotional. And if you don't get that in your Torah, you don't get that in your spiritual service, you will apply it in other areas in life. You know, I once saw, this is just, you know, a general question, could you have a spiritual yearning in non-religious, in a non-religious level? So there's a good book called Gathered Stones. There's a person called David Starr Glass. He's a professor in Maryland, in the university over there. And he was a divinity student in a Presbyterian church in a theological seminary in Scotland, and ended up becoming an Orthodox Jew. And in his book, The Gathered Stone, he says as follows: music became for me what I can only describe as a profound, near religious experience. In music, he had this experience. It elicited many of the transcendent emotions which religious believers described. Yet it was obviously not based on a belief system or a dogmatic creed. It means you can tap into a spiritual feeling through music, but it doesn't lead you to anywhere. But you feel that people listen to music, they get uplifted, or they get into a, you know, awe feeling. Rav Elie Lapian he actually lived almost to 100 years old. He died in 1976. He was born in 1876 in Lithuania. And for decades of his life, he was a great Torah teacher, first in Lithuania, later in London, and the last close to 30 years of his life, 25, 30 years, he was in Israel. He was one of the greatest men of the Muslim movement, the ethical movement. And he says as follows. He's talking about a pasuk, a verse in Tehillim, in Psalms. Pasuk says as follows. Mimizok shemesh amavo muhulot shem Hashem. That around the whole world, God is praised. Around the entire world, Hashem is praised. Says of Eli Lapalon, what does that mean? Around the whole world, God is praised. Hare b'royif ha'olam, ha'isa avoydis elilim, shulton b'zman shenemer d'vayla. Especially the time of David, King David, who says this psalm, most of the world were idolaters. What do you mean God's praised? Are these people praising God around the world? When they're sitting in India worshiping idols, when they're in Central America worshiping idols at the time of David? Right? Does that illustrate God's praise? Listen to what he says. Ella she'etzem ha'davar she'oivdim le'elilim. Even the desire to idol worship. Ha'atzmo hilul Hashem Hashem. At some level, at some aspect, that itself is a praise of God. Why? She'ken chipus achrei ha'muna, the desire to believe in a spiritual being, right, is that the neshama, the soul of a person, is looking to cling to something. It's searching. It's mistaken in this case. But it's a desire to cling. And for various reasons, they're clinging to the wrong thing. But it's still a level of looking beyond yourself, looking to cling, looking to go to the divine. And he says, and by the way, by Jews, Eitzel Yehudim, this desire to connect is even much more intense. Kabbalistically, the desire for a Jew not just to be subjugated to materialism, but to connect to a higher level is very great. And he says, and by the way, when the Gentiles of the world, or even going previously, in the later generation, they got brought up in communism, materialism, all kinds of movements to satisfy a need beyond yourself. It is the Jews, because they have even a stronger metaphysical reality this way, right? You find Jews leaders of all kinds of movements, right? All kinds of movements to go beyond oneself. There, whether it's Tikkun Olam type movements, whether it's socialistic movements. I'm not surprised to say that Bernie Sanders is the one leading a certain movement, because that historically Jews are all kinds of idealistic movements, all searching for a deeper connection, right? When really, at some level, they're looking to connect to the spiritual, looking to go beyond oneself. You know, I recently was talking to somebody in their late 60s, they were remarking to me how it was to be going to school in the early 60s, you know, what it was like when everyone was just searching, right? Everyone's looking for something, and they're trying to find it.
So is there a message here? You know, one of the things that we see repeatedly when we hear about the blessings that will accrue as a result of being holy, and, you know, God says, I will make you bountiful, and you won't lack for anything.
Right, and Shema, what you say, that's there.
Right, which on the surface of it seems as if it's bringing materialism into it, but I'm thinking as I listen to what you're saying that maybe the message here is, be holy and the other needs will take care of themselves.
So what Maimonides says, he asks this question, Rambam, and what Maimonides says is that God will give you the material things in order to serve God. Right? Because if you're not healthy, if you don't have food, then you can't invest in the spiritual. When a person is working 18 hours a day, he can't think beyond himself spiritually. Right? You don't have the bandwidth to do it. You're so worried about your material sustenance that you can't even think about the spiritual. Right? So what the Rambam is saying is, if you serve God, God will give you the divine providence to be able to do that. But of course, the physical world is important, by the way. It's just where your priorities are, where your head is, what's really going to satisfy you in this world. Rav Dessler, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Lapian and also a Lithuanian sage, he passed away a little bit younger. He didn't live to close to 100. He passed away in 1954. Rabbi Dessler was born in Lithuania. He also ended up moving to England, first in London. Later, he started what's called a Kollel, advanced study set in Gateshead. Eventually, we moved to Bnei Brak, Israel. He was arguably the greatest thinker of the middle 20th century. And he says as follows. He's talking about Kedusha. He talks about the Derech of Kedusha, the way of holiness. That's what he says. The Hageder HaShlishi. You're working. Wow, devoted students, devoted workers at Google. Gather actually, says our Beit Esler, that the third way that a Jew comes to Kedusha is not just by precious, ela derech dveikis b'toyra b'eslavas, to study Torah with passion, to do Torah with passion. Listen to what he says. In yanim Kedusha, things of holiness, is magiyim lelibo shel ha'adam. How does a person get to this level of holiness, right? Is when a person comes, rakasher oisik bahem b'spas rosh. You got to put your heart into it. You remember when I said in the beginning, if you do things mechanically, you won't get there. You actually got to put your heart into it. Al-kensarech ha'adam lahargish tamid chidish b'lumudo. Right? You got to put your heart into what you're studying. Ki ein ha'espilus v'esrakshos elayde pigia pit omes b'darachash. How does a person get excited about something? When it's there's a freshness to it, when it's a newness. Shalev chash pitom b'darachash. You get excited about a new thing. You get something's fresh. Something's exciting. He oise b'roishem shalilo yosef emeno. That makes a mark on a person. That's how it says in Shema. You just mentioned a verse from Shema, from the Shema. Lo yi asher neichim etzav chayom. You should look at the commands that's commanded today. You should look at the Torah that's commanded today, in our day. Right? Today, in ham, what's ham sandwich? It's called ham sandwich. I think it's so ironic. In ham sandwich, we should, right, view ourselves as accepting the Torah. Right? Today, not that it was given 3,300 plus years ago, 30 years ago approximately, but today, it should be. So the Rashi actually in Deuteronomy and Devarim says, it shouldn't be like an old commandment, but it should be like it's new, right? It's not just enough that you know it intellectually, but you have to actually put your heart into it, right? Because imagine what you said earlier: anything you don't get your spiritual sustenance out of, you'll look for your spiritual or emotional sustenance somewhere else. If you do something mechanically, if a person just does these laws or this Torah without that, you'll look somewhere else, as the Piaget said. Called Darga Pimpnimis, but an internal world of spirituality is an Olam Chadash. It's a new world. Umurgeshes Belev Kilu Ra Dabar Mamas has to be like the first time in your life. You know, it's an adult room. You know, it's very interesting. Alpi Kabbalah, Kabbalistically, the works of Kabbalah compare a husband-wife relationship to our relationship with God. And the intimacy that's in that relationship, it's compared to God. And the service is the same thing. So just like when a person is intimate with their spouse, it should be like the first time, not like the 50,000th time. So too, when you're serving God, that's how it's... It's actually a dogma. The way that the Zohar says it, it's actually a parable for us. How we're supposed to say God. You don't look at it as like, oh, it's something I've done. You look at it as the first, as freshness. And that's how a Jew should serve God. Ulam mishalu libo atom. But a Jew's heart is sealed. Ve'enim espal b'shum davar. And is not excited about anything. Enim esugol le'aliruchin eskal. You can't be spiritual. You won't have a spiritual world in that kind of case. But and he's talking about whether it's Torah study or mitzvahs, a Jew has to be excited. A Jew has to be, on a high level connected. Just to give an extreme example of how high a Jew, the level that a Jew can get to spiritually, listen to the words of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, the same time Rabbi Tesler was in B'nai Brach, the Chazon Ish was considered the greatest sage in Israel in the beginning of the Akshay Tezum. So the nation say the greatest sage was the Chazon Ish. He was the greatest sage in Israel. So the Chazon Ish has a work called Emunah B'tachon, which literally means
faith
and trust in God. Okay, that's in this work. And he talks about connecting into this spiritual world, which we're describing, that this Kedoshim T, which is not just a cerebral world, but an emotional, spiritual world, which is the, as we started out with in Sivah Shalom, is the purpose of all of Torah Mitzvahs, and the goal of every Jew is to have a spiritual connection to Hashem. Listen to how the Chazon Ish describes it. This is in the Perek Aleph, Sif Tes, in the Emunah B'tachon. Kasher Zacha, which is the first 1-9 in the work. Kasher Zacha Seichel Adam, when the intellect of a person. Liras amitas mitzios yisbach comes to this spiritual connection to God. Mianichnas bo simchas gil ingeit. There's an excitement. There's a passion with no boundless. V'nishmaso ni'ima olav. There's an inner peace. V'hadimayon mashlim im ha'seichel. And the imagination. Remember, we said everyone wants to have an emotional world, whether it's to read a horoscope, we want to cry, we get scared. When we're at a funeral, you want to cry. We all want our passions to connect to our intellect.
You're translating simchas as passion here.
No, simcha is happiness.
Yeah.
Dimion is imagination, and seichel is our intellect. But that together, you say that equals passion.
Okay.
Right. Lachasas Mimsa, to see the pleasantness of God. The kol tanuge besar mechamuki avoro, anything material at that level cannot compare. Right? Cannot compare to this more emotional. The nafshu adina, by the way, you always see that, actually had a test, sociological test on this. You have to give a person extreme mental anguish versus physical pain, what's much more damaging? Extreme mental anguish, right? Right. Extreme mental anguish is much more hard to deal with than physical pain. It's something about pleasure. Extreme, you can be poor, you can have very little, but if you're happy spiritually, emotionally, you're a happy person. Right? As we mentioned with the Maimonides, it's helpful to have. It's being taped, by the way. So it's helpful to have the material which allows us to be more spiritual. But the highest level of spiritual, specifically says the Chazon Ish. That the spiritual will be enveloped with holiness, with spirituality. And we can even leave at some level in this world, while we're standing here, or sitting here, our physical bodies and connect to the heavens. When you connect to that level, on a spiritual level, it's a new world. You know Plato's famous example, the guy in the cave? Right, and he just sees the cave, and that's all he knows is the cave. And then he goes outside of the cave. You know, you heard Plato before, Socrates. Right, so person's in the cave. His whole life is a cave. He imagines the whole world is a cave. One day he walks outside of the cave and he sees a world. Right? He says the Chazon Ish the same thing. When you tap into a spiritual world, it's a new world. Ki efshar la'adam ba'olam hazeh, even in this world, at times we can be like an angel to connect to the divine. And all pleasure in this world cannot compare to that. Cannot compete with that. God puts in the soul of every Jew. And every person, actually. That is the connection between the created and the creator. That pleasure, that tevekis.
That's such joy and such pleasure. Then why isn't it instinctive instead of having to have it strictly codified? And suppressing the
yitzhak. So I'm gonna answer you in a minute. That's a great, great question. I like that question. So let me just get to the one thing, and I'm gonna get to that. So you know, we actually said in the beginning that the Nesiv Shalom, the Slama Rebbe, brings down that the way you get to kedusha, the way you get to spirituality, to holiness, is through mitzvahs. One of the authoritative works about that is called the Chinuch, which literally means the book of education. It was written by a 13th century Spanish sage, late 13th century Spanish sage, for his son. There's a question who it is. Some say it was a sage Rabbi Aaron Halevi, who lived in Barcelona. Others say it was other people. But he wrote it for his son to understand mitzvahs. And listen to what he says. This is a commandment about Passover. But in that, he says a tremendous fundamental principle of what mitzvahs are to do and how a Jew connects spiritually through mitzvah. By the way, what does mitzvah mean? Do you know what mitzvah means?
Order.
You know, order. It also means tzavsa, to connect. Mm-hmm. It allows us to connect to God. Mm-hmm. So this is what he says. Da, v'atzavim, b'na v'shima das. Listen up. V'hat azlech ha'shma. Put your ear close and listen. Alemedcha l'ho b'torah mitzvah. I'm going to teach you how to benefit, how to get spiritually from Torah mitzvahs. Da, ki ha'odam nifal kafi pulasov. You should know that a person, they are drawn after their deeds. V'kol machshavosov tamid achar maisav. Where the things they do, right, that's going to pull their emotional level as well. That's going to pull them not just physically, but their emotional world. It's going to be that if you scream, you're going to get angry. If you smile, you'll feel good. Right? You're going to be pulled after your deeds. Shu oisek ben, whether it's good or bad. Vafilu rosha gamor, even a completely wicked person. And he wants to do just what we call wicked deeds all day. In mi'iru rucho, if a person gets motivated for a moment, excited for a moment, v'yasim ishtaluso, he does good deeds, Torah mitzvahs, he immediately starts a path a little bit to the good. We're pulled after our deeds. Doing good deeds brings us to closer to God, and doing bad deeds brings us farther away. Remember I mentioned that student, the Ramchal, Rabbi Lutzato, he has what we call Derech Eitz Chaim, the path of the tree of life. The path of the tree of life. And in this work, the Ramchal says a remarkable thing on the connection between spirituality and mitzvahs. How mitzvahs, if we do them correctly, as Rabbi Lutzato said, we put our heart into the mitzvahs. We put our emotions into it. How that can connect us to God. Listen to what the Ramchal says. Says the Ramchal, I'm going to tell you, what's the reward of when we serve God, when we do Torah mitzvahs, we do the deeds that God says to do. The physical body, who are no shisha kol inyan hazeh. Now, Kabbalistically, the physical body pulls us down. Right? The physical body wants physical things. Okay, so he says the physical body wants to pull us to the physical. The charotzen ma'atzel, God, the creator.
When you say Kabbalah, you mean Zohar?
Zohar in the works of the Arizal, who's a great 16th century sage from Sfat. Other Kabbalistic words like Sefer Yetzirah. But that... it's actually in Talmudic principles as well, but it's the elaboration is the works of Kabbalah. The primary work of Kabbalah is the Zohar. That's correct. So all this will be in that concept. The Ramchal, when he's, it's basically, you know, you ever read Physics for Dummies?
No.
You know, you can imagine the thing, right? You know, computer processing for dummies. So if you have no background in computers, I hope people in Google have a lot more than that, right? So if you explain to someone who never used a computer before, you would dumb it down. So there's levels of dumbing down. The Ramchal took all of the Kabbalistic thought and distilled it, not for dummies, for very smart people, but in an encyclopedic fashion. So he's giving to us a lot of this type of work, which is based completely on Kabbalistic thought. So Ramchal was a Kabbalist, and he's taking all of these culling ideals from the corpus of Kabbalah and giving it to us as this is what the Kabbalah holds. Okay. So he says that the Creator put in all every person a holy soul, right? And he says that whenever we do mitzvahs, chol mitzvah shu oisa, or is a kriya l'kedusha levo, it empowers the spiritual part of a person, right? And actually, not as a spiritual part, what the physical part of the body, which is connected to that spiritual part, is empowered as well, right? And he says, v'tam is lama nivra adam. There's two creations in man. There's our physical self. Remember we started in the beginning that every person wants to have an emotional world. Right? There's a desire of every person to be emotional. If you're at a funeral, you want to cry. If people like reading horror stories, people like have a desire, people going for all kinds of... there's a desire for the emotional. So that's coming from the soul. It's not the physical body that wants it. But the soul of every person wants spirituality. That's why even the idolaters we brought down, they're looking to connect to something. So in the Shama of the Gof, we have the soul and we have a physical part of our body. Ki efshar lasos avoda kazu, elamashi shaychasar. Now, Kabbalistically, which he's going to point out, is you need to have a tension between the physical and the spiritual. That's what allows us to have free will. That's what allows us to appreciate the spirituality, which is a very important thing. It means you don't partake of the physical unnecessarily, but you have to overcome that handicap. The physical world is great, it allows us, but if it dominates us, it actually becomes a negative, right?
You're constantly making choices, which is an artifact of free will.
our effect of free will in a physical world to become spiritual, which is how we'll answer your questions shortly. And therefore, if you're completely subjugated by Ra, then you can't free yourself from it. You have no ability to become spiritual. You're not tapping into this at all. Therefore, God put both a physical body and a spiritual soul. And he said like this, in Misag and Atzmo, if you connect to the spiritual, if you become a spiritual Jew, then spirituality is not music, unbridled. It's connected to mitzvahs, to commandments, to Torah. That's how a person partakes really real permanent spirituality. There's a great work by Rav Soloveitchik called Halacha Command, how he talks exactly about this, how real spirituality comes from halacha. It comes, otherwise it doesn't last. It's not permanent. So in Misakanat, if you think yourself, Kedusha b'kol ever ever, you add spirituality to all of your body. Va'al pi derech hazeh, nimsa tachlas hashlemes. That's how you come to perfections. And that's how ultimately, at the end of the day, you have resurrection from the dead, because your whole physical body will become spiritual. You're no longer a physical person. You become spiritual at some level. On that, in this concept, there is a great rabbi. He was actually the first chief rabbi of Israel while still Palestine. His name was Rav Kook. You heard of Rav Kook, right? So Rav Kook says as follows. He says in an early Sri'i, talks about Davin. I'm just go to the end of his piece. V'atzvila hilanu lo'olim kulto, prayer. We talk about spirituality connecting to God. Obviously, prayer is one of the greatest mediums of that. It's actually, when the Chazon Ish described, connecting to God, leaving our physical body, he elaborates on how prayer, that when a Jew is praying to God spiritually, not just reciting words, but he's putting their soul into it, you literally leave the physical world at some level. Your soul goes up. You can feel that excitement, right? Just like, by the way, going back to our parable about a husband and wife, which the Zohar says teaches how to connect to God, when you physically connect to your spouse, it's not just a physical act, it's a spiritual act. It goes beyond the physical act. It's a spiritual reality to there. It's a bonding there. A Jew connects to God, bonds with God. And you leave, it's way more than that physical act of praying. It becomes a spiritual reality. So the Rav Kook says like this, this is what he says. Hatfila, prayer, hilanu lo'olim kulo, for us and for the whole world, hecharach gamer, everyone needs to pray. There's a reality that whether we do it or not, there's a need to pray. There is a need to connect to beyond ourselves, to pray. And when a person prays correctly, there's no greater pleasure than that. Hey, get him to get some mazel tov. He just had a son, and he had a bris last week. So he was telling me outside of her.
Excuse me?
Mazel tov, thank you.
So he was praying when his wife actually had a very difficult labor. He was praying not only when your wife was having a very hard labor, but there's a connection to God at that point, right? You have a need to do that. You can't sit there and watch this going on. Not only because prayer is officious, but we have a need to go out and pray at that moment. Did you feel that need at that moment?
Sure. Yeah. Nothing else to do.
No, I had to. Right.
Definitely there.
So this is what he says. Times were in difficult times. You could be in a time, you could be in a paralyzed situation where your faith could be paralyzed, where you could be paralyzed because of that situation. But if we're smart, when we get this situation, which is difficult, which is paralyzing, right? You pray to God first. You connect. You leave that physical reality, and that reality takes away the physical block. So there's something that wants to block you from prayer, but prayer actually cleans the way for you to reconnect spiritually. I'm going to finish with this story, and I'm going to take any question. I'll sum up. If you go back to that verse of Kodesh 2, which really says to be holy, to be spiritual, and as we mentioned, mitzvahs are the way you do it, and that if we're not spiritual through mitzvahs, that desire to be emotional, spiritual, will come out in many other places, right? Everybody, it's a built-in teva, it's a nature of how God created us with a soul. We're not just the physical body, and our soul yearns, and even an idolater, that connection, that belief system, is this yearning for something beyond them. The desire for people to have love or passion or to lead movements is a desire. So if we don't use it correctly, it goes in really negative ways. It could be, we're on Google now, so it could be that you want to be in the blog world and feel like you're the king of the blogs. It could be you're going to be whatever it may be, maybe a virtual world, right, to get your satisfaction. I don't want to hurt Google's business over here, but but there's a desire to connect beyond yourself, right? Actually, by the way, Google and Facebook tap into that desire, right? Not just to be in your own private house somewhere, have no connection to but yourself. You want to connect to the greater world, or even higher, you want to connect to the divine. So listen to what it says in Kadosh to you. It's a remarkable verse if we go back to it. What does the Torah tell us? Kadoshim to you.
What page?
Page 656 in the stone. Kadoshim to you. You should be holy. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem, because I, God, am holy. You should be holy. Why? Because I, Hashem, I am holy. Rav Magen Miduvno was a great 18th century Lithuanian sage. You're from Litha, so I'm giving you a lot of Lithuanian sages today. Right? A great 18th century Lithuanian sage. Magen Miduvno gave a famous parable. It says the following story. In the world of Lithuania, the greatest level, the greatest stature was to be a Torah scholar. And Vilna was known as Jerusalem of Lithuania, and it was to be a Torah scholar. So it says there was once a very wealthy businessman who wanted his daughter to marry a great Torah scholar. So he came to a yeshiva, a place of Jewish study, Talmudic study, and he asked the dean of the yeshiva for his best student. So the yeshiva said, this student over here, he is the most studious, he studies Torah all day long, he's the best student. So he introduces his daughter to the person, they date a few times, they like each other, they get married. The businessman lived in a town far away where it was a simple town, and he was a successful businessman. And his son-in-law came after the 7 days of festivities, Sheva Brachos, and he starts to study. And every day and night he was studying diligently. After a few months, he starts to come about an hour late to the study hall, to the synagogue, to study, to the Beis Medrash. And after a few more months, he, you know, starts to miss a day here and there. So his father, you know, was a very wealthy businessman whose daughter only wanted to marry a Torah scholar. I was getting a little bit like, what is this? He's coming late to work, doing so-and-so. So he calls his son-in-law over. He asks his son-in-law to come in. He says, you know, the Rosh Hashiva, the dean of the yeshiva said that you would be the best of all your peers. You know, I'm looking at you now. You're slacking off. Son-in-law looks to his father-in-law and says, no, what are you talking about? Look at the whole town. I'm the most knowledgeable. I for sure still say the most Torah. You know, I'm great. So the father-in-law says, my son-in-law, don't compare yourself to the people of the town. They don't have an appreciation for Torah. You can't compare yourself to the people of the town. Look, compare yourself to the students of your yeshiva. That's the litmus test of how you're doing. Right? So because you compare to the town, they don't even appreciate what it is. So Rav Palm passed away in 2001. He was one of the elder sages in New York. See, he said this Magen Dubna over to a convention about 20 years ago. He says, we live in a world today which is not spiritual, which is not holy. And it's very easy. Well, I'll keep kosher Sabbath, or I'll do a deed. Or I do something. That's not what you're supposed to compare yourself. Kadoshim to you, who do we compare ourselves to? To God, because God is holy. We have to look to live a spiritual life, a holy life, because God is holy. Don't look at the world, whether it's in Google or in San Jose around us. Our litmus test of holiness is not what they're doing on MTV or on CNN or in People magazine or anywhere else. What is God? And the way we get holy in this world and spiritual is to put our heart and our passions into tournaments. And if we do that, then we're holy in this world. We're holy in the world to come. Okay? Any questions? Festival, give on.
It's very nice to hear. It's very hard to do it every day. Like, to keep the passion every day. Like, you know, you have days that you feel like you really want to.
So it's like marriage. That's why the Kabbalah. Yeah. When you're married and you don't have a good day at home, you feel it. And you work on it. You have a reality. The more a Jew wants to be holy, and the litmus test is to be that we realize it's the same thing. The more attuned we get to it, just like we're married to God. And as mentioned, the greatest pleasure is to have this connection. And it's not just every human being, Jew and Gentile, wants to connect to beyond them. wants to have this level of divinity. Mitzvahs, of course, is the greatest way to do it. So that's why even the verse says kedushin to you. Who's this mitzvah commanded to? Daver al kol b'nei Yisrael. They'll tell all Jewish people. And as I start out, this is one of the two verses you should always have in mind. Kedushin to you. And everything we do in this world either brings us closer to that holiness or brings us farther away. And the way we put our heart into it, well, the way that we do it. And if we make small efforts, like in marriage, right, it will have big dividends. I deal with family counseling. I always feel bad for people who have poor marriages. It affects your whole life. Right? And for a Jew not to be married well to God, not to have that kind of spiritual connection, there's a starving there. And that's what the verse said in Amos, at the end of time, there's going to be yearning to what? Not for lechem, not for mine. We live in a world today, which is a non-spiritual world. We have very few reminders about spirituality in the world today. But we have a Torah that was given to us over 3,000 years ago, and everything in the Torah leads to this thing, to be a spiritual person, to live a spiritual life, which is the purpose, as we started out with, of the Torah, to be a Jew. And spirituality is not unbridled spirituality. It's a spirituality which comes through a system of Torah and mitzvahs. If you just do Torah and mitzvahs without spirituality, you're also lacking. It won't last as well. But the path through that is the path of Torah mitzvahs.
So we're defining holiness as the full-throated desire to want to do the things that are laid out in the law.
The full-throated desire is the path to holiness. Holiness is, by doing that, you will become holy. By doing it, not just cerebrally, not just mechanically, but by doing it with your heart.
Well, I guess that's what I meant. There's
right.
Two things.
Right. So holiness is a result. It's not the action.
Right.
It's a path towards holiness. And I happen to like the word spirituality better, because holiness to me, when I hear holiness in our generation, we think of, and this is not a Jewish concept, of a monk on some mountain.
Right.
That's how people view holiness. That's not holiness. Actually, that is not holiness. Not taking this role is not holiness. It's utilizing this world in a spiritual fashion. That's what we call real holiness, or what I would prefer using, spirituality, connecting from the physical world to the divine. Any other questions? Thank you for coming. I hope everyone gained something.
Thank you very much.